Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It is election day, minus 5 weeks and one day. Not a single presidential debate has happened yet, but people are already casting ballots in Idaho, in South Dakota, and in the key swing state of Iowa. Tomorrow they will start voting in that very key swing state of Ohio. Meanwhile, in, surprise, surprise, Florida, there are some suspicious voter registration forms connected to a GOP consulting firm making the news. So joining us now to talk about how the voter ID / voter fraud issue and early voting may be affecting the election, as well as a bit of debate preview before Wednesday night's event, it is It's a Free Country political reporter Anna Sale, who's on the road once again. This time she's in Colorado, where Wednesday's debate will take place. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Brian.
So you're in Aurora, Colorado, which is, of course, the town that the nation became familiar with when the awful shooting happened there earlier this year during the Batman movie. It is in the swing suburban county of Arapahoe, just outside Denver. Denver is where the first debate will take place Wednesday night. What are you going to be asking voters in Aurora, Colorado?
Well, for starters, I was here actually in early July, so just a few weeks before the shooting, and I was talking to voters here. So I'm catching up with some of the voters that I talked to this summer who had voted for President Obama in 2008 and were leaning towards Mitt Romney. Going to see how that has shifted over the last several weeks. I've actually already caught up with some of her email, and I am picking up that some of those who felt very confident they were going to vote for Mitt Romney, that has softened just a bit after the 47% video. One guy in particular, a guy named Dick Henson, who works in economic development here in Arapahoe County, he told me he's still leaning towards Mitt Romney, but he's certainly getting a little closer to the edge and is looking ahead to the debate.
I know you just got there, but can you put even a little more meat on those bones? Like, did that guy think that the 47% comment was aimed at him and he was personally insulted?
He wasn't so much personally insulted, but he felt like it was a tone deaf comment that you can make the argument that helping the business creators and the job creators is going to help everybody. That's the argument he wanted to hear. He doesn't want to hear the Republican nominee say, "I don't really care about people below the job creators and the most affluent in the country." So he more thought it was tone deaf. He still has some complaints about President Obama, that President Obama feels like he's been ill-equipped to take care of the whole country, but he just was disappointed in Mitt Romney's kind of failure to deliver the message.
All right. So, folks, don't forget, we'll be hearing Anna's reports from Colorado all this debate week as that debate takes place Wednesday night in Denver, and you can read her posts on itsafreecountry.org, our politics website. So early voting, it happens in 32 states, including the swing states of Iowa, Ohio, and Florida, and where you are in Colorado. Obviously, the still undecided voters are not those who vote early. So who does tend to vote early?
Well, it's the people who feel ready to go to the polls and cast their vote. About a third of voters in 2008 voted early. And so those people who feel confident, ready to go in Iowa, are casting their ballots in the state of Ohio. Tomorrow, as of tomorrow, they can start voting. It's been interesting. In Ohio, there's been a series of legal challenges to their early voting laws, and they're still tied up in courts. The question of whether the weekend before Election Day, the weekend before November 6th, if that's going to be still an early voting period. As of now, because of a lower court decision, that will be still an early voting period. There was a law passed between the 2008 election and now by the Ohio legislature that would have prevented that. That's on appeal, so a federal appeals court could change that between now and then. But for now, as of tomorrow, Ohio voters can go to the polls and cast their votes right up till Election Day.
I find that Ohio case so fascinating. Anna, can you explain a little bit about why the last weekend would be the only period before the election in this early voting time period that would be locked out? Is that supposed to benefit one party or the other?
Well, what you hear is there's a bit, you know, traditionally an effort in the black churches. They call it souls to the polls. And so you go to church on Sunday morning and then you pile in church vans and go straight over to the polls and cast your early ballot. So certainly it's an effective turnout mechanism to get everybody while they're together at church to then go and cast your vote. So if it's predominantly black churches, those are voters that you know, are predominantly pulled towards President Obama. So eliminating that three-day weekend before Election Day is seen to hurt President Obama. The Obama campaign, in fact, was part of the legal challenge to changing the rules, and that so far, they have prevailed so far. But again, that is something that is pending, could change between now and November 6th.
So this close to the election, the early voting period already beginning tomorrow in Ohio, and the rules for when people can vote and who can actually vote still not hashed out, which brings us to Pennsylvania, which is expected to rule today on whether that state's voter ID law can stand. This year, there will have been heated battles in state legislatures around the country about voter ID laws. 30 states have passed some form of photo ID, voter ID law. And of course, the argument for these laws tends to be made by Republicans who say it only makes sense to have to show some kind of photo ID to prove you are who you say you are, while the argument against is made by Democrats who say that voter fraud is a non-problem and these laws only serve to disenfranchise the elderly, the poor, and mainly people of color because the IDs are expensive to get and would deter those people disproportionately, and they tend to vote Democratic disproportionately. Now, we know that, of all people, Sarah Silverman is trying to get people in those groups, those forms of ID in the states that have newly passed voter ID laws. So here is a little bit of the video that Sarah Silverman is now circulating for the election season.
Hey, black people, old people, poor people, and students. Guess what you all have in common? Lawmakers are trying to f*** you in your polls. Time to go to the local polling place, cross your name off the list, and vote. But this year, it's not going to be that easy, because there are these brand new, super f***ed up laws, which are presented as a way to prevent voter fraud, but are in fact designed to make it hard for specific people to vote.
All right, Sarah Silverman with her particular get up. A lot of bleeps, but you know, but it was worth the extra work because now we get to keep our FCC license for another day. And some people will remember what Sarah Silverman did in 2008, sending this very public message to her grandmother and all the grandmothers in Florida to go out and vote for Obama. Now she's doing this. What's the actual Obama camp doing to make sure these laws don't swing the election, that everybody who now has to get a voter ID, a photo ID from the state, will do so?
Well, it's been actually fascinating. I went to a panel at the Democratic National Convention that was very much about responding to these changes in voter laws. And Steny Hoyer, the leader in the House, got up and said, look, you know, the courts, all these things are progressing. We've got to assume that the laws as they stand are going to be as they stand on Election Day. And so here's what we're doing to make sure voters are ready to comply. And we talked about the DNC enlisting thousands and thousands of lawyers to not only be poll watchers on Election Day, but to be in these jurisdictions as we speak right now to monitor voter registration efforts, to be engaged with local campaign officials and local election officials to make sure they're following the letter of the law. And then they will keep that outreach up through Election Day, standing at the polls, standing in precincts, making sure that poll workers are complying with the law, and also following up if voters are turned away from the polls, following up and saying, what did they tell you you didn't have? Do you perhaps have this kind of documentation at home? This is how you, you know, this is the way you can get around it. And so they're still, you know, fighting all these lawsuits in the courts. They're tied up in appeals at this point, but they're also putting together a ground game of volunteer lawyers to try to make sure that as many people who are eligible to vote get to vote.
Now, there's also news out of Florida today that there are some suspicious voter forms that are linked to a consulting firm hired by the state's Republican Party to register new voters. Evidently, they were registering only Republicans. And there's some question about whether the firm was paying their employees per registration, which is illegal in Florida. However, this kind of potential voter fraud is not the kind of fraud that the voter ID laws are trying to protect against. Is this something new?
Well, this is what's so fascinating about Florida, because as all these new voting changes were being passed in legislatures over the past couple of years, one of the changes Florida made was making their rules, tightening their rules around voter registration. And Republican lawmakers are pointing to groups like ACORN and saying that they need to crack down on groups doing voter registration. They need to, if you register a voter, you need to submit that form within 48 hours and just make sure the process is sort of more tightly controlled. So it's interesting now that it's Republican-linked voter registration efforts that are running into these problems. So the problems in Florida that have been found are not only that groups are going out to register voters and saying explicitly that they were registering only Republican voters. That's not allowed. If you're registering voters, you've got to register anybody who wants to register. And that also that some of these people are being paid by quota. So, you know, if you're told that you're only going to get paid a certain hourly rate if you turn in 10 new forms, That creates an incentive to submit some forms that aren't totally truthful, and that's not allowed. So as of now, there are about 100 suspect forms in different counties that Florida election officials are looking into, but it's just kind of interesting because it's like the complete flip of the way the rationale for the way the voter registration tightening was sort of expressed in that it was focusing on particularly Democratic-linked groups.
Listeners, we just have a few minutes left in the segment, but I wonder if anybody has had any connection this year to early voting or to voter ID laws. Are you the Sarah Silverman in your family and sending out your own YouTube videos or IMs or whatever to people to make sure they go out and get those photo IDs that will be required to vote for the first time in some states? Or do you know people who are eligible for early voting? Or are you working with people in Ohio who may or may not get to vote on that last weekend before the election? Anything real quick on this that you are personally connected to? 212-433-WNYC while we still have a few minutes with Anna Sale from our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, who's in Colorado for the first debate. 212-433-9692. And Anna, before you go, you've been traveling to swing states throughout the summer. At this point, 5 weeks from the election, I guess there are still some undecided voters. Otherwise, they wouldn't bother to have the debates. What do you think they're waiting for?
Well, that's just a new poll, the ABC Washington Post poll that came out had it 40, I think it was, you know, within 2 points between Obama and Romney, within the margin of error among likely voters, and just about 9% said they were willing to consider someone else. So 9% out of 100% of voters say they're persuadable at this point, so not a ton of undecided voters here. If you look at the campaign ads that you're seeing in Denver that are running this morning, I think that both the Obama and Romney campaigns think that what these voters want to hear are concrete plans that each candidate has to get the economy going. And so you have President Obama running this 2-minute-long ad where he goes over a 5-point plan and charges that Mitt Romney is doubling down on trickle-down policies that got us here to begin with. A Romney ad, a 1-minute-long ad that ran just a few seconds after the Obama this morning on the morning news, is his plan, and he argues that you shouldn't measure compassion by the number of people on welfare. He's got a plan to get those people off welfare. So I think those are pretty much the lines of attack that we'll hear on stage on Wednesday.
And, you know, for as much as the media has been making a thing recently of how Obama is starting to break away in the swing state polls, it's not really much of a breakaway. It's a few points here, a few points there. The Washington Post has a stat today that says 3% of voters still could change their mind between now and the election, even if they've declared themselves leaning toward one or the other. When you add up a few points here or a few points there, there's no way anybody could say this is over.
No, it's certainly not. I mean, it's interesting that same Washington Post poll, by a 2-to-1 margin, the likely voters said they thought Obama was going to win the election. So even though it's very split, there was a 2-to-1 margin on who they thought would ultimately prevail. But certainly,
who cares? And I would to that I would add, who cares what anybody predicts? Who cares what the average person who's not a polling expert predicts? Who cares? It doesn't mean anything.
It means in terms of a sense of momentum and in terms of thinking that you're voting for the guy who's winning, which is always the way you want to feel when you're going to the polls. But as far as Colorado goes, we're looking at, 4.6 points in the latest poll. So President Obama has had a slight edge here, for the last month, pretty much, since the summer, kind of on and off. It's gotten a little wider, but certainly still nothing, no double-digit leads here in Colorado. These battleground states are still very much up in the air.
Let's get a couple of calls in. Anne in the South Village in Manhattan. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Brian. Love your show.
Thank you.
I just want to say it's really important to know that at least what I have found is it's almost impossible to get a photo ID for my daughter, who has a brain injury, so she would come under disabled. Her birth certificate says female Arlen, and I have not been able I was directed to get her inoculation records, but those are no longer retained, directed to go to the hospital, but those records are no longer retained. So right now I've been sent a court order, and I can go through that procedure, but that's not quick. I mean, this would not be something that someone could use to solve the photo ID problem.
Yeah. What state does your daughter live in?
She lives in New York State, but the issues would be the same anywhere.
Anne, thank you very much. And that is a striking story. And Anna, I guess the question is, are the issues the same anywhere, or are these states that have new photo ID laws for voting going out of their way to make the IDs accessible and easy to get?
Well, that's what's at issue now in Pennsylvania. So the status of that photo ID law is that it's a state Supreme Court upheld it, then on appeal, a state judge upheld it, then on appeal, the state Supreme Court vacated that ruling and then sent it back to the lower court and said, you need to make sure you're showing us the state has a plan for making sure no one is disenfranchised. And basically, legal watchers say, set up the judge to have to enjoin the law. So that's the decision we're waiting for that's due by tomorrow. And so Pennsylvania did create this outreach effort to try to help people get IDs, but then the courts have looked back at it and said the things that you said that we're going to be, we're going to rush this along. Turns out they can't do the things that they said they were going to do. So all of these issues and administrative hurdles to getting people with photo ID are absolutely part of these legal challenges, because the plaintiffs in these lawsuits are arguing that not only is it difficult for people to get photo IDs for people who don't have them, but also that the state has not shown that there's a problem that needs to be solved, that in-person voter fraud is not a problem sweeping the nation. It's actually very, very, very rare.
Cheryl in Brooklyn wants to add to our little conversation about the registration fraud allegations from Florida. Cheryl, you're on the air. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Yes, this is a story that's going to be getting a lot bigger very soon, and I thought that you and Anna might want to know. It's not just in Florida. It's in a bunch of swing states. It's in Colorado. It's in Virginia. It's in North Carolina. It's all traceable back to one person, a guy named Nathan Spruill. He's got a long history of this. He did by the way, not voter fraud. This is
Registration fraud. This is where allegedly
he did this in 2004 and in 2008. He formed a shell company called Strategic Allied Consulting at the request of the RNC. They hired him for several million dollars. And he has been sending paid people out into these states to do voter registration, and they're either collecting only Republican registrations, or they are destroying Democratic registrations or altering them so that when the person comes to the polls to actually vote, they discover that they are not, in fact, registered. This all got uncovered because there was a video of a young woman in Florida who Anna, are you aware of this video? You know what I'm talking about?
This is the young woman who said that she was just registering Republican voters.
Correct. Yes. And it turned out that she was working for him. And all these state Republican committees have now fired this Strategic Allied consulting firm, but
right. And so interesting. So it's like sort of if they got caught, or he got caught and this firm got caught doing things that are untoward. I guess, Anna, as we start to run out of time now, the question is, how much can this be traced up to the party apparatus itself in any of the parties, especially if they were breaking any laws? Like, I guess it's not illegal to set up your voter registration table in the middle of a shopping mall, let's say, that you know is in a Republican district or you know is in a Democratic district, and say, oh, I'm registering anybody who comes along, but you know you're going to get people who tend toward your party. It's another thing to be allegedly, as Cheryl was saying, altering or destroying registrations that people fill out from the party you're not affiliated with and things like that.
Exactly. And this consulting group has been fired by some local Republican Party chapters, and the Florida Department of Elections is looking into this, looking in to see if there are criminal charges. And one more thing to add, this is on top of the months of coverage we talked about of the Florida voter rolls, the purging, and the looking to verify people's citizenship. There's actually another lawsuit. There are arguments in court today where a Haitian American and a Hispanic woman in Florida are challenging that they have to sort of re-verify their citizenship with the state of Florida to be kept on the voter rolls. So it's just interesting that it's, again, flipping the paradigm. All we've been talking about sort of the assumption that Republican election officials have been targeting Hispanic names and to try to get them off the voter rolls, and now we're talking about a consulting group affiliated with Republicans turning in problematic registration forms.
Well, between this story and the ongoing contentious debates over the voter ID laws, not all settled, as you were describing, even this close to the election, the rules for early voting, not all settled, even this close to the election, and so much of this revolving around race and class and age, this is going to be a bitter last few weeks leading up to the election, unfortunately. And it's not going to be boring. There are going to be charges and countercharges flying every which way, which hopefully won't affect the actual outcome, but you never know. Remember what happened in Florida in 2000, whether one of these kinds of situations could have us all counting and recounting and figure out what's legitimate and illegitimate long after November 6th. So we will see. But Anna Sale, political reporter for our politics website, It's a Free Country, is in Colorado for the debate Wednesday night. Anna, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
And listeners, join our debate coverage on Wednesday night. It starts at 8 p.m. when I'll be hosting a pre-debate call-in for WNYC listeners and other public radio listeners in swing states on our Mostly Swing States radio network. That's our debate coverage beginning an hour before the first word, Wednesday night at 8 here on WNYC. Brian Lehrer with you. And coming up next, the NAACP takes New York City to court on the way kids are admitted to Stuyvesant, Bronx Science, and other schools that admit based only on one standardized test. Stay with us.